on there as well, which is this city cleanup underneath number 3 of new business. And John Lyons here with TDX under in report.
Okay. Very good. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Emil, second by Jack. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. A roll call, please.
Marita?
Yes.
Emil?
Yes.
Alan? Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries. With that, we're moving on to the consent agenda this evening. We have one item. It's the minutes of the regular meeting of April 10th, 2018. Did everybody have a chance to go through? Mm-hmm. It all looks good. I'd entertain a motion to adopt.
We'll do adopt minutes.
Motion's been made by Jack to adopt the consent agenda. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Shirley. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. A roll call, please.
Jack?
Yep.
Shirley?
Yes.
Emil?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries. So we're moving right along. Reports this evening, the finance officer is taking the EMTs?
ETT.
So everything is in the finance report. If there's any questions, we'll try to answer for you. As you've seen for March, we're almost down by half in the raw fish at 43,319.52. And the sales tax also down revenue from 77 to 43. So not so good at this point. As you know, there was no cod fishing, so things were a lot skinnier. Those are the big things to point out. Bank's balances are on the next page. We still have the 205. When that one comes up, that one jumps into the AMLET, which is 2-3. We do the Charles Schwab. As you've seen, it's jumping up a bit already, up 11 from the start.
No,
but
it went down.
It went down. Well, that's for the new one, 510 to the 511. Yeah. But originally,
is that because of the market? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Market stopped. So you saw, we were at 11 and then that went down 10. To 10.
Yeah. Anything else in there that jumps out at anybody that they need questions asked? Not hearing any. We will move right along to our administrator's report. And Jordan, I'll turn the floor over to you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just wondering. Your report. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Not a whole lot to add. The Kelly Avenue Alpha Line project is still on track. John Lyons, who is here with us tonight, earlier this month, or last month, I suppose. The EAT Clinic, as noted last time, there is a proposal to increase funding for the clinic. It would go to the city, as the city is the owner and operator of the clinic. We received a contract back from EAT. It has gone to our lawyer for suggestions and comments and clarifications. He sent those back. I ran through and we can address a few when I'm here this week. It's mostly lawyer type changes versus substantial changes, some minor details, a couple questions. So just to reiterate, that would not take any funding away from EAT. Currently, as it operates, this is a separate pool of money, so there's not going to be reduced staffing or anything.
A quick addition to that, maybe. Yes. I think Jennifer's supposed to be in tomorrow, so
okay.
Into Sandpoint. I think she's meeting with QTT, I do believe, on the 13th. So maybe a couple days she'll be coming in. But okay. Anyway. So she may be here. I don't know if she'll be here when you're here or not. If not, so that's fine.
Yeah, she's been has not been at your office.
Yeah. But. Okay. Would you continue?
Insurance. The price is about what we had last year, probably a little bit lower. So energy efficiency matters. We have the budget coming up. Introduction today. Most of the time, I'm just going to catch getting up to speed, meeting with various agencies, departments. Mark Hickey, DOT. We have a DOT matter coming up, resolution for that. I can talk about that a bit later. And then we also had the scrap haul-out proposal that came in after the agenda was set. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Just a quick one, and so I don't forget, I was writing notes. Tomorrow, remind me, maybe you and I can go through on the AMAL-JIA just to make sure that we're covered on ambulance calls, because we actually pay, the people are getting paid for those runs now, so I don't know if that falls under Good Samaritan anymore or not, so let's maybe make a note to ask them, make sure that we're covered liability-wise for using the service. Going through that, I think the rest of them are covered under agenda items, so thank you, Jordan. Questions for Jordan? Not hearing any, thank you. We'll move right along to our Department of Public Safety. I see they're not here this evening. We must have had a snoozer in, maybe, so we'll catch up with them later. That'll move us right along to our Public Works. And Dave, the floor is yours.
Good evening. We've been real busy. We've been working on water lines and stuff. But last month we graded the harbor a couple times, and we've swept, we're staying on the roads as far as sweeping. On a couple of days when it rained a lot, we worked on the crusher. We reshimmed, spent $1,100 and reshimmed both grader blades. That's about a once-a-year thing now. It should be getting better due to all the asphalt we have, but all the roads that we have are gravel, are down to bedrock, so it's kind of hard on the machines right now, but we'll be taking care of it. We worked on the equipment. We worked on the approach at Kelly Avenue. We graded the landfill. Serviced my truck. I had a radiator problem. Changed the ram, and actually ended up rebuilding the ram on the Gale's tilt, the Gale forklift from Boat Harbor. Replaced the rod. The old rod was all pitted and rusted out. We fueled all the buildings. We fueled the landfill. We had to work on the garbage truck. We lost a shiv, which the cable runs to pull the dumpsters up to dump them in the truck. So we changed the shiv. We made what we had to make. You can't get parts for that truck anymore. So we're having to build our own equipment for it. But it's fine. It's good running. We changed grader blades. I got more grader blades coming. We're constantly cleaning the shop. We're still kind of organizing because it's still in a mess. And we moved man lift to QTT so they could get their lights fixed before the, was it the prom? And then we brought it back. So as far as the landfill, we changed the tires on the skid steer. We do our regular maintenance. Pick up the wrong dumpsters. On the recycling, it's going good. We don't have any problems there. Water sewer. We pulled the Trident lift station pump, one of them. It's out. It's at Alaska Pump right now. We're trying to deal with them. We drilled a hole in the outfall line for Kelly Avenue. My guys swear they'll never do that again. It shot liquid about 25 feet in the air when they drilled it. And it's the outfall line down there on the beach that hasn't been running in a while. Worked on the jumps lift station. We got parts coming in for the lift station. We're still working on the motor for the Tritus lift station, but otherwise everything's running good. We've cured a couple of leaks. We put up a new fire hydrant in down at Glorious, and we extended it to where it went 20 feet out towards the road, so now it's only like 15 feet, 20 feet off the road, so it's much better for you down there in your area. Plus now you got a 6-inch fire hydrant instead of 3-inch, so...
Very good.
You can check your house insurance now, too. You might be able to get it knocked down a little bit. You've got a big hydrant down there now. So. Otherwise, everything's doing good. Any questions?
If you don't mind, maybe toward the end of this week, we'll stop in and you and I and Jordan will talk about that pump. See where we go with that.
Love to.
Okay.
On that hydrant down there in that same place, right by Wilbur's there, is there a way that we could extend that up?
Yes. Or? No, we're going to move it.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting. I've already talked to Glenn's mom, and she said that we can move it, you know, 6-7 feet off the road.
Okay.
We just got to get time to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bad hydrant. It's always been that way. It'd be nice to be able to grade the edge of our road, you know, but you can't.
Not worry about hitting someone on it, maybe.
I just didn't know, if there was an extension.
What's nice now, too, is we found all the valves for that area, so we can isolate it and just shut off a certain area at a point in time instead of shutting the town down. this inch and a half break that was down here was a bad one. I mean, I had to shut town off. I didn't have a choice. But no, we've got a few more valves. We need to go down to the church and expose one more valve, and then we can kill that portion of the loop. And then any point in time on the small lines that we're dealing with right now, we can work on it without killing town.
Good.
It's just really hard because our prints are so far off, and they were supposed to be updated years and years ago, and the person that took the prints out ended up getting killed in a car accident, so we lost all of our real good prints that we only had one set of that they took, and they were going to build one big one, and it never happened. So we struggle with all the bits and pieces as far as prints.
Not where everything's at.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So other questions for Dave?
The guy had a photographic memory?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. sorry.
Okay, well, if there aren't any other questions for Dave, thank you. Then we're going to back up, and we will move to our Department of Public Safety, and I'll turn it over to Hal.
Thanks. I apologize for being late. I was actually working on with Investigator Sleese on another drug case that we're working, so I got tied up with that. Just the main report, the internet update, DRS came in and got us all up and running on the higher speed internet. And that's been working pretty well with Abson, and we've been doing some test runs on the new electronic fingerprinting system. We're still waiting. The vendor that comes out and installs that apparently had their contract dissolved with Crossmatch, so they're in the process of trying to find another vendor to come out and actually do the training and get it set up and where it's fully operational. That should be coming down the road sometime shortly. Still waiting to hear from the school on whether or not the yearly budget's been approved as to whether or not we can send Officer Anderson to school resource training in July. Should be hearing something about that, hopefully by the next council meeting. We've had a few burglaries in town over the past few weeks. Some of that is coming from property crimes rising a little bit due to the fact of the amount of drugs that the task force has taken off the street. Speaking with Investigator Sleese, the average was about $100 back in the, about 8-10 months ago per dosage unit. He's reporting that that's gone up, and I actually got this from someone that we're dealing with in an arrest that it's gone upwards of over $200 a dose because it's getting so hard to get in Sandpoint right now, which is a good sign, but there's always some residual on that. But we've been increasing patrols now that we're going to be full staffed. We're getting out a little more. The burglaries that we have had were solved relatively quickly, and arrests were made in those. Officer Mark Chandler is all set and ready to go. I actually just got the final email from the military. He is going to be joining us June 6th will be his first date with the department. As I explained before, it's going to be a career entry program. Mark will not be paid by the city of Sandpoint. Mark will be paid by the military for the first 90 days. The only thing we have to cover is the airfare to and from Colorado, where he resides, as part of the program. But it's going to save us upwards of $19,000 over 90 days in wages and benefits. So pretty incredible program, and we're getting a pretty solid candidate for that as well. I've been working with him, getting everything set up. Everything's ready to go. And he's just really excited to get up here and get rolling. On the drug thing, I can't get into too much info, but I thought I'd give you a little bit of an update. Since these are some numbers since November, when we really started taking part and working really closely with the task force. Since November, we have been directly or indirectly through sources assisted the task force in seizing over 16 pounds of, and that's mostly cocaine, marijuana, or cocaine, methamphetamines, and heroin, with primarily most of it being heroin. And that's got an approximate rural Alaska street value of $4.4 million. We've also had the task force has seized over $57,000 in cash alone, not including vehicles, guns, things like that. And we'll get a portion of that. Of course, it's split amongst many departments. But that's a pretty incredible number. And we actually just had another that's not even listed on this. Officer Anderson and I made a contact at the airport locally and seized just about a half an ounce of heroin the other day. So we're getting real good headway on this. The people that we're talking to are saying it's harder and harder to get it here. Of course, they're going to find other ways. We got the ferry running now. That's a real hard one to work on, but we've got some things we're scheming on to try to curtail that. But just a real hats off to the task force and especially our investigator. He's been, I was talking to the lieutenant, he said he's doing an absolutely fantastic job. He's making good cases, not just for our community, but others as well.
Very good. That's good news.
Yeah, great news. And then, I don't know if you had mentioned it, we did not get the fire truck.
Yeah, I was going to let you.
Okay. Unfortunately, we did not get the fire truck. It apparently is going to Nanelchik. They beat us out for it, but I've got some other avenues that we're looking at. And actually, I was talking to Jordan today about there may be one that's available in Seattle for donation, but it cost probably, I don't know, $10,000-$15,000 to get it up here. But Jordan had a good idea today about possibly maybe we could get it on that barge that's coming up to bring that scrap if we're paying half the fuel.
The barge is in Dutch right now.
Oh, it's in Dutch?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was in Seattle. Okay. Well, hey, we tried.
Well, I'm not sure if it goes down, it's got to come back. I'm assuming the guy, I think, hangs out in Dutch. So, yeah, well, that's
but not there's some other options that we can look at as well for that. So we are actively looking into that as well.
Good. Appreciate it. Thanks, Hal. Questions?
Yeah. Emo? Are these burglaries and stuff more or less reoccurring offenders? I mean, and if they are, what would be a way that we can, you know, try to keep them out of here? I mean, if they're just a nuisance.
Yeah.
What is there that we can do? We could call legislature or we could call...
The biggest thing is what happened on this last one where it was the same individual from a previous incident was... The left hand in the courts doesn't know what the right hand's doing with this new pre-release system that they got. And apparently one hand didn't know that there were pending charges already, so that person was given a third party, which would be standard for the type of violation, but they weren't aware that there was the other violation, yet they were arraigned on the same violation. So this new thing is complicated. The courts are trying to work through it. We're doing everything we can. Since then, the individual has offended again, and now he's in on a higher bond and a separate third party, so he's still in custody. But as far as, you know, 86ing somebody out of town, it's just not constitutional. There's been some things in the past, but I believe it was non-incorporated cities that it was more of a tribal deal that they did, if I recall correctly. I think there was Kluwak and then... Tanana or something like that.
Tanana.
But again, we can't do that here. And that island's the only place that can actually do that because they're a closed reservation. But, you know, we're just being diligent on getting out and doing more patrols. When we are getting them, we are getting the cases solved relatively quickly. But again, you know, if they let them out, there's not a lot that we can do on that end. But it is more of a legislature issue on SB 91 that is causing a lot of that friction.
Well, and then the 54, too, isn't it supposed to help out with some of that 91 stuff?
For probation stuff, it gives them some different parameters, but again, it also is, it changed some things on Class C felonies where before they could OR, now they're, you know, they can impose a bond and things like that. We just had an individual that was in, and one of the things they're trying now is, the individual usually is never a problem until they're drinking, so what they did is they imposed where they have to come in 7 days a week between 9 and noon and give a PBT. If they fail to show, it's immediate V-Corps, and they're arrested. If they blow anything other than zeros, it's immediate V-Corps, and they're arrested. So the courts are starting to work with us and giving us a little more tools, and it also kind of helps the local community and gives that person some incentive to say, hey, I got to keep my nose clean, or I'm getting checked tomorrow. So it kind of gives them a little incentive when every next day they got to come in and do that. So they are doing some things.
Well, just to add on to what Amos talking about, what bothers me the most is individuals that get to come back when I mean, he gets to go on a spree around town that costs upwards of, you know, it's close to $100,000.
Yeah.
And boom, he gets to come back to the community where he is, you know, he hasn't paid any restitution to these individual corporations that, you know, that costed them a ton of money. That's what kills me, and we have nothing we can do about that. And that's,
yeah, unfortunately, that's like, yeah. I mean, you can't kick a person out of a community. You know, I mean, there's some precedents in other states where they've kind of done stuff, but usually that gets fought up to a higher level and overturned. I mean, just because you're a criminal doesn't mean you can't be.
Well, what about the money portion of it?
Well,
where do, say, like, any of the three or four that was impacted?
Yeah.
What do they have? I mean.
Yeah, and again, that's something that has to be taken up with legislation. There's nothing our local police can do other than keep, you know, arresting the offender and you know, getting the cases before the judge. But it kind of comes down to you can't squeeze blood from a turnip, you know. Yeah. And, you know, but these people, you know, some of them actually have money, but the state doesn't have much for recourse on going after them. And, I can do some checking and see through victim services. The other thing, too, that's really quite often is the victim feels burdened by all of the paperwork you have to fill out to get onto restitution, and a lot of them just don't bother because either they've gotten an insurance payout or they just are looking at it and they don't have the help or they don't know how to fill it out and they get frustrated and don't fill it out. And we've offered in instances to help with that if we can. But that's some of it too, is trying to maybe streamline that process so that they can, you know, get that help that they need to get the appropriate paperwork filled out so that the tracking can go through, because they can pull their permanent fund, things like that.
Doesn't add up very quickly, but
not anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Hal. Any other questions?
Just a comment. I think we ought to, as a city, I mean, we kind of started this task force thing and got other people involved and rolling on it, and they like it. And this joint deal, it wasn't just us, but there was a few of us. But I think those same communities probably have the same problems, and maybe we ought to go to the legislature or something, because these people, you know, well, if they don't want to live here, go somewhere else, if they don't want to be part of the community.
I agree.
Because we have more than one. And I say try to get somebody legally to let us blue ticket these people and just don't let them back on the island, because it's what's next. Mm-hmm. I mean, when these guys are going crazy,
yeah, someone's going to get hurt.
Somebody's going to get seriously hurt.
Yeah, and this last one was a good example of that. You know, a firearm was discharged within the home multiple times, and you know, and it's just crazy to me that that's a misdemeanor.
That's back to the law.
But again, it comes back to SB 91 and everything that happened with that. But they're hearing the cries from the communities, and they're working on trying to do it. But you know, it's just one of the cogs in the wheel of many that they've got to work on this session. And
we know how that goes. So anyway, thanks, Jack. I appreciate that. With that, we're going to go ahead and move right along this evening to our harbor master, and Richard. I'll turn the floor over to you.
Thank you. Good evening. Sorry about that snide remark, David. You know, that was uncalled for. But the harbor is going well. It's busy down there. You'd think it was the middle of May or, you know, a week before June, but the guys are plugging away. The two new guys are working the day shift. They're working out. And things are looking good. We're still looking for a night watchman. We have a temp right now, but for maybe a week, maybe two more weeks with him. But they're just busy moving boats and, you know, working. Equipment, they're taking care of the equipment, being serviced on a regular basis. And they're around town, they're hauling freight and whatnot around town. Took the steeple off the church. We put that up there 22 years ago, I think. But we're just busy.
Very good.
That's all I have to report.
Okay, thanks. Moon, question?
I guess question, yeah. What on last meeting it was talked about that oil pressure on the gauge of the oil,
yes, thank you.
On the travel lift?
Spoke with, there was a Jimmy man here from Seattle. I talked to him about it. And there is oil pressure, not as much as there should be. 20 pounds when it's running hard. But it's been that way for the last year or so. And he said maybe it's the hob switch and the oil pressure gauge, they aren't on the same page. So what I'm going to do is get a manual gauge and hook it right to the engine and see what we have there.
Because that was all new stuff then we got to put on there, or just the pump?
We just did the pump. And that oil pressure gauge, right after they changed the engine, we had oil pressure, then it dropped, and there was a mechanic here working on power skiffs, and he did something, you know, he dropped the pad, did something with the oil pump, and the oil pressure came up, lasted for a couple of weeks, and it dropped back down again. So I'm going to go after a manual gauge, put a manual gauge right on the port where the, right by the hob switch, you see, or before the hob switch.
Yeah, that'll be good.
But he was suggesting maybe the hob switch and the electronic oil pressure gauge, they aren't on the same page or...
Anyway, we'll do that and look into that. On another note, and Dave, I know your list is long, and looking, but when we get to it, and when we do, but the Grove, I guess the parts for the Grover here, so that I know that's a ways down there, but just keep that in the back of your mind.
That and a fireboat.
Yeah, and a fireboat. Yeah. So.
Okay. It's there.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thanks, Moon. Any other questions? Comments? Not hearing any. Thanks again.
Thank you.
With that, we don't have a student representative this evening, so we're going to move on to John. We're going to move on to John Lines, and at this time, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Well, good evening, and thank the mayor, city council, and Jordan, new city administrator. Thank you for inviting me out. As I mentioned, when I was out here in March, I would come out on a regular basis, answer questions that the council may have, and certainly the mayor's as well. And maybe try to update you where we are with the power plant, the wind farm, the rate case, and really whatever you have questions about as far as utility operations. I met Jordan with Lamar in Anchorage here a couple of weeks ago, and very pleased to make his acquaintance and get to know him a little bit. And when he gets to know a little bit about TDX, so very much appreciate that, Jordan. Thank you. So I guess I thought a couple of things, mostly, Mr. Mayor, just as a follow-up to our March meeting, community meeting that I had. Just answer some follow-on questions. Typically, my experience is that after I leave, questions start to flow into you or to the council, and I thought that I'd throw that out if you had any other questions as a follow-up. Before that, let me give you a couple of updates on some things. The good news is we're getting really good production out of the wind turbines, and I was just up at the power plant looking at our production, and I think you've met some of my operations folks when I was out here in March. The clinic is online. It's working well. Electric boiler and the clinic is working good. The heat boiler at the school is working very well. And talking with some of those clients, they've already seen a reduction in fuel costs, which is good. It surprised me a little bit, only because this is not a really good production wind time of year right now, right? We would expect to see much better production, obviously, at the end of September, going into October, and then in the winter months. But it's been pretty good. Talking with Art, I guess you had a heck of a storm roll through your last couple of days. And so we see production went way up. So that's good news. The engineering staff has taken advantage of this and continues to test and tweak the system. We will be in testing and this modeling mode now for the next couple of months. As I told the clinic and the school, we don't expect to build them for any of the energy from the wind farm until probably about September. We want to make sure we get through all the testing. We backed off from some of the aggressiveness. Obviously, we're a utility. We want to minimize interruptions in electric service to the community. We could get way more aggressive. The problem with that is it also tends to create outages, which we just don't want to have. So that's good news on the wind system. We've got some plans for this summer to update service going to the AT&T. Art tells me that that service now is roughly 40 years old. And it's starting to show signs of fatigue, and so we're going to replace that service. The other service we're going to replace is start working on the area called the Trailer Court. And I can tell you, when we first took over the utility in 2000, one of the things I looked at in 2003 is the discombobulation, if you will, of how bad the services were over the Trailer Court. So we're going to work on that this year as well. And that's going to be a significant upgrade. The other thing I mentioned in March is that we're looking at bringing Trident online. Construction starts at their plant in June of this year. The engineering is done, materials on order, so we'll start that construction and bring in Trident online sometime about the end of June, maybe early July timeframe. Okay. And Mayor, I'll just defer to you. I can make as many trips out to visit with you and the council as you like. June might be a little tough for me. But certainly, end of July, or I think you meet, the first Tuesday, second Tuesday of the month?
Second Tuesday of every month.
So we can plan to do something in July, or obviously you let me know. I'll work with Jordan, and we'll put that together.
Work with Jordan. I guess question I have, you mentioned last time at the meetings we were talking about possibly bringing on the city building next on for the electric boiler.
When to heat?
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do is, so here's what we're doing in ADAC. I put together an energy focus group at ADAC because they have the same kind of questions. Well, how are we going to fix this energy problem? What about the high cost of fuel? What about the high cost of electric? What can we do? So we put together an energy focus group. I might suggest to you, Mayor, that maybe this is something we should do in Sandpoint. And I would be happy to participate or lead the discussion. Perhaps you and Jordan can talk about that, what we can do, and let's put together an energy refocus group. It's not just about electricity for lights. It's what can we do with the excess wind? Certainly this building would make sense. It's public benefit. There may be others. Perhaps the chief here may have some need for displaced heat at his facility. I mean, a lot of things that we can do with it. Let's talk about those things. But I'd be happy to lead a group, an energy focus group, with you.
Okay, well, I think that's a good idea, and we'll work with Jordan. Of course, you guys are in the same city, so
yeah. You
guys can chat a little bit more, and I would suggest June is probably not a good time,
right.
And possibly not July, maybe August or something, depending on for your next visit or whatever in Jordan.
Yeah, wish I had a little bit of good news today. Today or yesterday came out from RCA. They increased the PCE by about 2 cents, give or take? So
the COPA.
So it's marginally good news from RCA for once.
So are we in the process with your asking for, what is it, 20-some%?
Oh, the rate increase?
Yeah.
Well, as you know, Mayor, that's all about what the RCA ultimately will decide. They just now finished, so we're back now giving them reply testimony. That actually just starts this week. That'll be in full effect. The one issue, as you know, and I brought it up in the March meeting, the Trump tax reform of 17, that's in full effect. And all the utilities, not just electric utilities, but the gas utilities, the waste garbage utilities, the water utilities, they're all struggling with, so what does this really mean in terms of tax impact to the ratepayers? So we're working on that right now. We've got our tax guys involved. We've got a consultant that's working with us, trying to understand what's the impact. I mean, the net effect is, right, whatever reduction is imposed upon the utility, that's definitely going to get passed on to the ratepayers. We don't know where it's going to end up yet. We're still working on that. My guess is that if I were to throw a dart at the dartboard right now, I would suggest to you that sometime between October, November, it's about the time frame we should be finished up with the rate case.
Okay. And then that'll come before the people comment time, too, on that.
I believe there'll be another round of that. I don't know exactly what the commission will be asking for at that point. I know right now we're in front of RAPA. We'll be meeting with them regularly here coming up pretty soon to get through all of this. So it's a good exchange. I've got a good rapport with the commission. I think they understand the thorny issues that involve almost all rural utilities. But at the end of the day, You know, the commission will set the rates, and that's what we'll end up working off of. But back to Jordan's point, what Jordan was talking about is the reduction in the COPA, which is the cost of power, which is fuel, right? So the more production we get out of these wind turbines, the more it will offset and lower that COPA rate. Okay, less fuel we actually burn. Correct. That's what's important. That's why I'm under engineering and operation. I have to keep these things running.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you coming out, and I'd like to offer anyone in the audience have questions for John on PDX while we have him here? Nothing? Go ahead, John.
Mayor, one more point. Sure. When I was here in March, there was another presentation, and unfortunately we just ran out of time. And the presentation is on the forward path for a sustainable economy here in Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. I did give Jordan a copy of that and a copy to Lamar. Maybe at the next meeting, I'll update this, and then if we have a little more time, I'd like to present that to the council, just kind of give you an idea of what our thinking is. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not necessarily the end-all bullet, but it's a starting point, and then I would like feedback from you and the council as to how we actually improve it. I think setting up this energy refocus group would help us give me a better understanding of what the community needs are.
Okay. Well, again, I appreciate you coming out, and if you don't mind, stop by and visit tomorrow sometime, too. Are you taking right off on the late plane tomorrow?
It'll be on a late plane tomorrow. Yes. Yeah, I'm on the that flight going out to ADAC on Saturday. There's only two flights a week out there, so I'm on Saturday flight to ADAC.
But stop in for a little bit so we can chat a little more, too.
Perfect. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. And Paul.
Two quick questions.
Yes, sir.
You said there's a 40-year-old line you're replacing. I didn't catch what line that was.
Oh, it's the service line to AT&T Towers. Yeah.
Oh, Alaska. And when were you doing that?
This summer.
Summer's a long time ago.
Right.
June, July.
Okay, right.
And then the trailer court you mentioned, the time frame for that?
We'll also be doing this summer. Right. So the engineering is done, the materials will be, whatever the barge gets here, we're kind of, you know, relegated to whatever the barge material shows up. But typically, we like to do that kind of work in June, July.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice to see you guys tackle that trailer court, because that is a real scary situation. I seen Art down there, and there was fire shooting at a thing when he was there, and it was like, it was scary.
Oh, is everything wrong with that right now? We need to fix.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Again, thanks, John. And not any other questions? Mm-hmm. If not, appreciate you stopping by.
Yes,
and stop by in the morning. What would be a good time? Probably 10:45 or so?
Yeah, we'll make that work, Jordan.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good, we'll make that work.
Yeah, but that'll be short. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
With that, we'll go ahead and move right along. This evening we have hearings, ordinance, resolutions. The first on the agenda is Ordinance 2018-02. It's our FY19 budget. It'll be our first reading, and there will be many tweaks to follow. I'll turn that over. Did you have anything to add to that? It's pretty straightforward. So
it is pretty straightforward. It's mostly replication of last year's budget. The main increases we're seeing are healthcare costs, which didn't increase at all last year. So now this year it looks even worse than it had been. You know, 6% last year, 6% this year. But I mean, the main wild card right now we're seeing is the 105L lease with the clinic. If that does go through, it'll drastically change the budget. And we're going to have to go through, do a mid-year budget amendment anyway. But that will definitely play a role.
Yeah.
So.
And we will sit down with, Krista's not here this evening, but we have a few things she gets in before the second reading. I think we can tweak some of this before we get there and then go from there.
Yeah, but overall it's fairly similar from last year.
With less tax dollars.
Yeah.
So anyway, but yes. So with that, I would entertain a motion to put it on the floor for the first reading.
I'll move Ordinance 2018-02 to the floor for the first reading.
Motion's been made by Jack. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Amo. Is there any further discussion at this point? Not hearing any. We'll do a roll call. We'll be on the floor for the first reading.
Marita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yeah.
Abel?
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries. And again, too, public, if you have any comments, bring them up anytime. I'm here. Jordan's here at the office anytime. Stuff up. And again, we'll sit down with Krista, and I'm sure we'll have some tweaks before the second reading even comes to us.
Right.
And council members also, anything stop by and visit. Okay, with that, we're on the floor with the first reading. We're going to move on to Resolution 1802. It's our Part 139 certification. I don't know if you guys are all familiar. DOT has people on the ground here, and they're going to be here for a while. So things are actually progressing, and I'll let Jordan fill in a little bit more on that. But this resolution is just to help to get the whole process moving. Remember, we had a letter last time that showed us or gave them our intent. This actually solidifies it. You rounded in front of everybody. I think Hickey helped you compose along with Lamar. So everything was covered, no money out of our pockets, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll let you hit on a few things.
Yeah, so this is a pretty exciting development. As you know, we have people out here from DOT, came in, I believe, yesterday, doing some minor upgrades to the airport, some striping, another lit windsock, I think, and some security upgrades and just a few other minor odds and ends. You know, no major construction, just
fences, redone. Just all the stuff that needs to be taken care of before they can actually bring somebody in.
So this is the next step. It's the resolution supporting the landing fees for it. We were fortunate in that, you know, given the state's financial situation, that the state said, you know, we'll cover the start cost for it. What's up to the community to maintain the operational cost for it. So, you know, this, what this resolution does, it you know, thanks the state for their actions and acknowledges that the state has limited funding and says that the city endorses the resolution to have DOT go and review what an appropriate landing fee would be to support the 139 operations. And should, for whatever reason, the 139 operator cease services, a landing fee will be dropped. Yeah. And then if another 139 operator does come in, then it would get tacked back on and then be operational from there.
And just as you noticed the last time, and who knows what that will be ultimately, but it's looking at something like an $8 per head per trip. And this, I think, on the other side of it is where we have to hold Danny's feet to the fire, too, as you remember, as he sat out in the audience and basically promised a $700-$800 round-trip ticket that would drop that price when he brings in this big plane is the whole reasoning behind to make this work. So I think we work hard with Danny on this. I mean, if that's the case, $8 a head is not going to be anything to worry about if we're going to be saving, you know, $400 a round-trip ticket. So. Hal, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I just had one quick question for Jordan, if you can talk to the state, too, because I've met with the guys from DOT out there, and it's much more extensive security than what I was expecting.
Oh,
we're going to have airport badges and all that. So my question for the DOT would be, it's state-owned, who is going to handle the security for the airport? Are we going to be required to respond if there is a security breach or somebody on there? And if so, you know, we may be able to enter into some sort of a contract with the state where they could fund us to provide the security and stuff like that.
That's wasteful thinking, but because
the troopers in Kotzebue, the troopers covered it because it was a state facility. Right. We don't have the troopers here. So that's something to consider on, you know, because with that new security, are they required to have nightly checks like they did in Kotzebue? But they are also, because it's going to be a CITA area, which is a sterile area, just like going through TSA. So that's the thing that I just want to make sure that's something that doesn't sneak through the back door and say all of a sudden now we're required to be stationed down there at all times, kind of thing like that.
Yeah, we'll do that check. Thanks. I appreciate that. Good point.
Which I would throw on that.
Yeah, we'll just ask Troy. But with that, I think that covers, it's pretty straightforward, and this is the concrete piece that they're looking for to move forward. The next step comes after they finish with what's going on at the airport is the training process, and which involved in that will possibly be two of our guys, but that won't happen probably until the fall, I'm guessing October or November for those folks, I think, isn't it?
To get the 139 certification, they're looking towards...
I think they're going to do the other folks first, right?
Right, but just to make... and operational on Whether or Not Park, you know, certificate. They're looking end of June, end of July. So.
Okay, but that's what the first two that will
right.
be trained.
Yeah, right.
Right, yeah. So it's a little bit ahead. We're hearing good news that they're pulling out of the bankruptcy sooner. That's why this is all supposedly happening. So I guess we all see where that goes, and anything can happen, as you know, but that's what we're looking at. So they're talking like the end of July. We'll see, and they're pretty hopeful that it happens. So they are here, so they're taking it seriously. They're fixing the airport. So with that, Shirley?
So the landing fees only pertain to a passenger landing?
That
yes.
did come up, but yeah.
Yeah.
None of those big freight planes that are hauling hundreds
no,
of thousands
it's 30 people or more.
It's a head touch.
Yeah.
So the little charters wouldn't be affected?
No.
Not at this point, right?
Right.
Yeah.
No, but they could make a charter and have people on standby down there if they wanted to pay.
You mean the ones that...
More than 30 people coming
oh,
in.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm just wondering if any of ACE's planes, they no. stop here with passengers on their way to Dutch and they get off at least.
Yeah, but how many passengers will ACE carry?
Know.
You know?
That's something we'll ask about again.
Anything
that
over,
did come up, though, surely.
Anything over 30 or more, it changes our PAR.
Right.
It's
so,
the seats.
Yeah.
On a plane,
it's
the
configuration of
the plane
on how many seats. Anything over 30, then we have to, there has to be people there.
But I see what you're getting at, too, that about the freight.
Landing fees.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because
we've got those big planes putting a lot of wear and tear on our runway down there.
Well, we'll ask about that again. I kind of, but this is to get it rolling.
I guess it's a state runway.
Yeah, correct.
We're laying down rubber first every time we land.
Yeah, exactly. A coating. With that, I'd entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 1802.
I make a motion to adopt Resolution 1802.
Motion's been made by Emil. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Shirley. Any further discussion on the resolution? Not hearing any. A roll call, please.
Shirley?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yep.
Emil?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Motion carries, and we'll get that rolling, and we'll have a signed copy for you, Jordan, to take use when you go and distribute when you get
right,
back.
And I'll check tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then I'll find out
okay. Very good. Thank you. Nothing under old business today. Three items under new business. The first one is QTT's Culture Camp donation request. It's for the July, mid-July to the third week Culture Camp. It's a toned-down culture camp again. I think it's a 10 days versus a 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. They have come in front of the other entities in town. And correct me if I'm wrong, Shannon, it was $3,000 last year, a $3,000 donation to culture camp. So what are the council's wishes?
We had $3,000 last year?
Yeah.
Oh. Now they're wanting $7,000?
They always ask.
It's the same number they ask.
Wow. I mean, that's still...
It's high. I know. I think we fall, and we were looking at the numbers, it still falls in within our donation request from our repeat. So,
well,
I would suggest
it, yeah,
the 3,000 is what I would suggest.
What we did last year.
Yeah.
And if we got that there with the RIPI money, yeah.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. Motion's been made by Emil to donate $3,000 to the culture camp this year, 2018. Do I have a second?
Second
by Shirley. Any further discussion? Not hearing any. A roll call, please.
Emil?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Motion carries. New business number two is our FY19 health insurance renewal. And Jordan, I'll let you hit that. We talked a little bit about it, but I'll let you follow up on details.
Yeah, so the plan we received from Doug Brown is essentially the same plan as last year. The price, however, is 12% greater than last year, but the benefits remain the same. Obviously, you know, healthcare's went up, and we've seen prices, you know, 20%, 30% higher across the board. He went out and checked with other companies, and they were even higher. One benefit by staying with this plan is that we're grandfathered into the plan type. Most members of this plan have 50-plus eligible employees on it, and we don't have 50. We don't have 50 employees, period. And not all the employees here, you know, partake in it.
Right.
So by staying with that, it enables us to piggyback, I guess, off some larger entities across the state. And again, the opt-out for people who have insurance through other providers or carriers or IHS also remains, so that's another static feature. So, it's again, same things last year, basically, but just more expensive.
And actually, with that, I talked to a few cities that it upwards of 20-some percent increase. I mean, some really large numbers. We escaped last year with nothing with the status quo, which I was shocked because other folks had big increases last year. So I think we escaped quite well with just 12%.
Well, question with that opt-out program. Now, does that go up too with the rate increase, or do you still get that? I mean, how does that go?
I think it would stay the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't get increased also because of the increase of the insurance?
No, I wouldn't think so. Would you, Jordan? That's a good question we'll ask. So maybe we could talk with Andy about, he was kind of the one instrumental in getting that gone. So maybe a quick phone call to Andy on that. But I'll get back to you on that one. Good question.
That's extra money.
So, okay. With that, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
I mean, for being grandfathered in, I'd rather motion to approve that.
Okay, very good. Motion's been made by Emil. Do I have a second?
I will.
Second by Jack. With that, any further discussion? Not hearing any, a roll call, please.
Jack?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Emil?
Yes.
Very good. Motion carries, and we'll get rolling. You can chat Brown on that, Duncan. We'll get moving. Number three on the list, this just came in this morning, or as you see, the third, but they just got an email, I think, the other day. This gentleman that wanted to work with us, it's been a few years back now, right, Dave? But I did talk with him. I talked to Frank. He did do work for City of Lansky. He cleaned out their whole place, the barge. He took it down. As you know, that city has money. But what they did is they paid fuel, cost of fuel for him both ways. In this, as you can see, he's asking to pay for fuel just one way, and he said he's willing to chat. But I just wanted to bring this on front of you guys now. No action tonight. I'd like to chat with him some more. And if this is true, and Moon ran away, but he knows as well as I did how many fly-by-nights we come up against on this, which scares me. So, of course, there wouldn't be any money change hands until we actually see that stuff float away from the harbor and go from there. But I just wanted to bring this up, meaning that we possibly have something that might happen. I would, if it's okay with the council, if I just keep chatting with him and see if this was the case, if we were to pay at this point half of the 14,007 gallons, 7,000 gallons would be about $18,000 to $20,000. If that was the case and we got rid of, I don't know if anyone's been to the landfill lately, there's an apartment building up there, it looks like now, it's so big.
And he'll take white metals too.
He'd take all metals. He'd even get them, he said. He said it's a labor of love, which all those two.
Depends on where we buy the fuel from too, Seattle.
My question though is that if we can use a bingo fund for something like that, that's for the community.
I don't know. That's a good question. I would say yes.
Because this is a no-brainer. That's what's going to close our landfill is all this metal.
Yeah.
And what were we going to use the money from the Anchorage office for?
That's another good point.
Some
of that went back in,
and
that one in Anchorage, it needed me that we put back. Good point. That was about $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
Well, if it's okay with you guys, I'll get back to him and get some more concrete ideas on what he's thinking about. He's looking at maybe something in the fall after all the excitement of salmon's out of the way and everything when he could come in here when it's not so busy. And I think he's going to be able to use the ramp. I talked to Joe or whatever. Maybe we could do something like that. Or whatever's easiest for him to put that. He could put that barge right into the side of the harbor like he did before, too.
But you got people also that, because that's restricted money the way you can spend it on the bingo.
Yeah.
So that if we could tap that and we had it, then the other money we could use at our discretion.
Okay.
Rather than having directional funding. So, I mean, that was just my thought. I don't know the rules, but I mean, I'm sure you'd have to ask somebody, Lamar or Kirby or somebody.
Okay. Well, let's do that. I'll get you guys some more information on this, but it, like Jack said, I think it's a no-brainer too. If we can, that's probably what 60% of our landfill, you think, right now. That's our issue. I mean, it's crazy big, and then we still have a pile in the harbor, as you guys seen. So, I'll do a little more legwork on this, and I'll get back to you if it's a phone, something or another. I'll let you know either way.
Yeah, we get things in writing before we ask for
them. Correct.
Tell him you'll be happily down at the dock when he drops the door on the barge, ask him his check.
No, when he leaves, when he pulls it up. No, when he pulls that back up. So. Okay, very good. I'll chat with him this week, and we'll get rolling and see where that goes. But I'll keep our fingers crossed on that one. So, with that, I'm going to open up for public comments. Anything from the audience? Not hearing anything, I'll close that portion and we'll move on to our council comments, and we'll start at our right this evening, and we'll start with Emil.
Just looking at the calendar, that's June meeting date is going to be right.
Yeah.
The start of salmon fishing. I didn't know if we want to try to move that to a week earlier or something that we talked about maybe.
Let's work on that. Good point, and we were going to talk about doing that, and... let's give us a... We'll chat about that this week and get back with you. How's that? Because I know you guys start on the 7th, right?
Yeah. And Sedlinders go out on the 7th. And the
seniors are on the 10th?
10th or 12th, something like that, yeah. So, I mean, it's right in that area. Everybody's going to be going.
Okay, we'll work on that one, Amy. Good point.
Well...
Are
you going? No. No.
Anything else, Amy?
No, that was it, about the only thing I had on my mind.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And Shirley?